Dr. Chambers on Call, sponsored by City of Hope.
This is Dr. Chambers on Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC, 800-222-5222. No questions too dumb, no questions too tough, no questions too embarrassing. 800-222-5222. And here's Dr. Chambers.
This is Dr. Chambers on Call, back from a hiatus. The number to call, 800-222-5222. This show is about you and your health, your family's health. We cover everything from hemorrhoids to heart attacks. Call if you want to join the conversation. Call if you have a question. 800-222-5222. In the next hour, we're going to skim through some of the news, some of the medical news that's happened over the last little bit. There's some good news. We're living longer. We're healthier. Summer sun. How to recognize heat exhaustion, heat stroke, much more serious. And what happens when your doctor tells you, he gives you a prognosis? When he or she gives you a prognosis, what does that mean? Should you be listening? Should you understand it? What kind of questions should you ask? Because the prognosis is really key to understanding what's going to happen to you if you become sick. But first, let's start with the fact that anxiety is reigning throughout the land. There's 7 Americans who should be alive and with us today that are not. Philando Castile was a man driving home with his girlfriend and her daughter in a car. He got pulled over for a traffic incident, yet to be decided. Something went wrong in that, and he was shot dead by the police officer. The aftermath of that awful scene was recorded by his girlfriend. His girlfriend, Diamond Reynolds, was remarkably calm during this phase. I don't think I could be that calm. She followed all the orders. And if you want to see this, it's all over the internet. You can see this video is on our Facebook page. It's literally been everywhere. And then we had another case. We had one in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Alton B. Sterling. A man who was being arrested at a 7-Eleven store and was shot in point-blank range by police officers. Subsequently, people understandably went out to protest. Understandably went out to protest and said, these men should be at home with their families, should be still alive. What went wrong? This peaceful protest, then an atrocity arose. A sniper on a roof took down 5 Dallas police officers. As a result of this, I think there's a lot of anxiety. I see it in my patients. I see it in my practice. I see it among my friends. What's going on? What's not going on? And sometimes there's a divide. There's some people, predominantly white, who think, I don't quite get it. And the people of color are saying, you don't get what happens when the police stop us. Now, I'm a proud immigrant, a proud naturalized American citizen. I grew up in Ireland where the police are not armed. So when the police pull you over, when I was growing up, when I was a teen, whatever, it was, hi, how are you? We never, ever thought about, could we get shot? Could we not get shot? Didn't happen. Couldn't happen. They weren't armed. Now keep in mind, in Ireland in those days, we had what we called the Troubles, which was actually a slow war between the British and parts of the people of Northern Ireland. And my first real experience of that, when I was doing my final med exams way back, and Dublin is such a small little city, just over 1 million people. What they usually do is they ask you to leave the city and go out to different hospitals so you don't get to know what kind of cases they could ask you in your exams, because it's small. Everybody knows one another and they might tip you off. Oh, there's a lupus case, there's a heart case, whatever. They want it to be fair. I ended up in a hospital called Alt na Gealtain in Derry, which is part of Northern Ireland. And even stating Derry shows you that I'm of a certain background. If you're from a certain background, you're from the South. If you're Catholic in origin, you call the city Derry. If you're not, you may call it London Derry. Now, the tradition is when you see a patient, you ask them, what happened to you? Why are you in hospital? What went wrong? And I stopped doing that in Alt na Gealtain, because sometimes you would see people who are so savagely beaten up by, say, the IRA or the UVF, the Protestant paramilitary, it became embarrassing. So you would talk about the injuries, the recovery, stuff like that. And you never inquired about how they got them. Now, for me, very little experience of violence in my life to that point. Never saw a gunshot wound. My training was done in a hospital in the suburb in Dublin that was wealthy. Gun violence wasn't a part of Dublin life in those days, much more so now, sadly. And one of my friends was trying to explain to me what the difference was that when you're pulled over by the police or you're pulled over by the British Army as you're driving. And one night we're going across the border from the south to the north and we're pulled over by the British Army. First time it ever happened to me. They're all heavily armed, heavily militarized. And we roll down the window and it was a Scottish soldier with a very thick accent, way thicker than mine, thicker than mine. Didn't understand a word the man said. Couldn't understand them. Fortunately, my colleague who was driving did. They pulled us over into the shed, big bright lights, like think Saturday Night Football, brightly lit. They were pleasant enough to us. Asked us where we were going. Across the border for a Chinese food. Local Chinese restaurant, that's where we were going. They were polite, we were polite, we drove on. As we're pulling out, my friend, who's from Northern Ireland, who was in med school with me, Catholic in origin, happened to be, there were a lot of people who were Protestant in origin, different sides. I said, well, that wasn't too bad, was it? They were kind of polite. They were, you know, okay. I was a bit scared, guns, lights, scared. He said, yeah, but they're way better than the B specials or the Northern Ireland police, because when they hear you're Catholic, they pull you over. They harass you. They keep you there for hours. And if you look at them crooked, they'll beat you up. And I looked at him. I said, really? He said, yeah. And I said, but, I mean, aren't you just as afraid of, the local IRA thugs or the UVF thugs? And he goes, there's a difference. When somebody is wearing the uniform of the state, whether it's a police officer or a British Army soldier, and they attack you, they beat you up, for no reason other than they can, or they shoot you. That's far more devastating than if it comes from a thug, from a criminal, from a terrorist, because they're the bad guys. And the bad guys do that. And we want the good guys to come stop them. And the good guys are the cops. The good guys are the army. And for years in Northern Ireland, they had a police force called the B Specials. And they were sectarian. If you were Catholic, they harassed you, they beat you up. They had to be disbanded. They couldn't be changed. It was a sectarian force against poor people run by people who are more affluent. So what I'm trying to get at here today is we have made progress in Northern Ireland. People are living better. People are more living together. Still some anger, still some hatred, got it. But people are living better. And what I'm hoping in America today is that we will understand each other's point of view. If you watch Diamond Reynolds' video and you don't feel, you're just not alive. You're just not alive. We have a problem. It's not an insurmountable problem. And we can fix it. But we have to look at the culture of guns and we have to look at the culture of police. Because it is tough for police officers in an era of concealed weapons and everybody carrying guns, and they're scared. I get that. I couldn't be a police officer. I'm not tough enough. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm a doctor. I treat people, try to make them better. But it's easy to sit back in judgment. That's not to say that there aren't problems in the police force, because clearly there are problems. And clearly there's a systemic problem. And clearly there's a systemic problem of how they're approaching people of color. But we also have a gun issue. And we need to address that. But I want to remind you who I am. I'm an acute care physician. I treat everything, as I said earlier, from hemorrhoids to heart attacks. You want to call in? Call in. 800-222-5222 with whatever is on your mind about your health. So when we're talking about guns, over 30,000 people a year in the United States die from gun violence. And over 30,000 people a year die from traffic accidents. Now, when I was in medical school, we had a trauma team. Everybody had them. Every major hospital had them. Because there were so many people dying from cars. You go through the windscreen. The steering wheel would crush your chest. You had to have emergency trauma surgeons. All of that stuff. And slowly but surely, we made cars safer. Windshields didn't shatter. The steering wheel collapsed. Seatbelts were made compulsory. Airbags deployed. We don't have those trauma teams anymore. Because we said it is unacceptable to be losing that many people from motor vehicle accidents. But yet here in the United States, we are not allowed, we doctors, the feds, the CDC, are not allowed to study gun violence. I'm not talking about restricting guns. I'm not talking about taking away the Second Amendment. I'm talking about studying guns and what happens and why it happens and maybe how can we prevent it. People talk about mass murder, the mass shootings, but that's a really small number of the people that die from guns in the United States. Most of it is homicide, but a bigger number is suicide. Much, much bigger number is suicide. And when I'm in my practice, when I see people with severe anxiety, when I see people with severe depression, I ask them, do you have guns? Do you have access to guns? Because I want to judge how much of a suicide risk they are. And there are people objecting to that. I don't get that. It's just like I ask you, are you using a seatbelt? Because it saves lives. The new stats out this week, and I hate stats because it reduces people to all these numbers. But female veterans are dying at a great rate, committing suicide, and we think it's because they have access to guns compared to civilian women. Now, that's scary. And that's something we need to do about. We need to do something about it. 800-222-5222. You want to join the conversation or you want to ask a question. When I come back, something a little more hopeful, something a little more uplifting. New data out this week that says this. We're living longer and we're healthier. Why? How can you be one of the people that's going to live longer and healthier? That and lots more, plus your calls when I come back. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. This is Dr. Chambers on Call, live and local. I'm back from hiatus on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Dr. Chambers answers more of your questions when we continue.
Would you like to make up to $20,000 a month flipping houses with no risk? Hi, my name is Nick Vertucci, and over the last 2 years, my elite team of house flippers have flipped over 800 properties by using my three-step flipping system that guarantees quick profits. And this year, we plan to double it. I'm growing my team in your area, and I'm looking for help. I have more cash available than deals right now, so I need you. All interested candidates, call now and take an inside peek of my flipping system. I'll rush you out a free copy of my Fortunes in Flipping CD kit that will show you how easy it is to get in, get out, and get paid immediately flipping houses if you come join my team.
Call 1-800-218-7369 now to get your free flipping kit. Call 800-218-7369 and you'll also get free tickets to a training workshop that includes a free meal, a smartphone watch, and USB flash drive loaded with Nick's powerful information as free gifts just for attending. Call 800-218-7369. That's 800-218-7369. Call now.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really, because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like Contour Next and Walgreens True Metrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket cost when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Hold everything for less. The Pack Store Save event is going on now at the Home Depot, and the shelves are full of smart storage solutions. Start with durable 27-gallon storage totes for just $8.97. They're made of heavy-duty resin to hold up to 400 pounds. At that price, you should get a few extra just to hold the money you'll save. Come get organized at the Pack Store Save event going on now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through July 13th, U.S. only.
Okay, here we go. Drive home promo, take one.
Hey, it's Jillian Barbary, and how do you want me to say in the beginning?
On the next drive home.
Okay.
Here we go. Take two.
Coming up on the drive.
Blah, 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 blah. Take three.
Coming up on the drive home. John, I can never do these. Oh, I'm not going to be able to do it.
You're telling me.
fuck you.
Just listen in between 3 and 6 on Talk.
Can I just add that now?
Sure.
Okay.
Take whatever.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, great job, Jill.
This is Dr. Chambers on call, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. And remember, on this show, no questions too dumb, no questions too tough, and no questions too embarrassing. Can't even see your face? It's radio. 800-222-5222. Some great news out this week. We're living longer and we're healthier. The big causes of death, heart disease is down. Cancer is down. Dementia is down. People didn't believe that. People thought dementia is not going to go down because we have more and more older people. We're talking about the rate. The likelihood of you and if you're 40 or 50 getting dementia seems to be a lot less now than it was previously. The question is why? Is it because of medical interventions? Is it because of screenings? Is it because we're living healthier? It's probably combination of all of those. Maybe all of those are factors. Maybe all of those are important. But the board is lit up. I'm going to take some calls, and I'll come back to that. Let's talk to Steve. Hi, Steve. Hey, Steve. Steve?
Oh, yeah, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, hey, man, I just wanted to talk about the racial tension right now in Los Angeles. I'm living in Palm Springs, but I work in Los Angeles, and I can just feel it everywhere I go.
Sure.
With the latest,
Steve, do you have a question on your hypertension?
No, I wanted to talk about racial tension that's going on in the communities right now. I'm not talking about the communities, but in the tabloids.
I understand. You know, at this point of the story, Steve, I think we've kind of covered that. We're going to move on and just take some of the medical calls. Let's talk to Jerry in L.A. Hi, Jerry.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Is numbness of the brain a rare condition, and what could be done about it?
Well, what do you mean by numbness of the brain, Jerry?
Well, I had a short circuit in the mid right part of my head from an overdose years ago.
Yeah.
And it's not functioning, the other doctors told me in the past.
Yeah.
And so it occurred numbness. It's no longer brain in that part. And what could be done about it?
So, hang on, Jerry. I'm a little bit confused. When you say numbness, are you feeling numbness in your arms or your legs?
Yes, I feel the numbness of the brain in the mid-right part of my head where I had that buzzing short circuit during my OD.
Okay.
And so it's loss of functioning there, the doctors in the past told me, but what could be done about it?
All right, so we have two issues here, Jerry. One is that you had a little OD some years ago and it damaged part of your brain. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and the next issue is in that area in your head, your scalp.
The mid-right part of my head.
Okay, you're feeling numbness, is that
yes.
it? Yes. Got it.
Shut up.
Yeah, I understand. So here's the thing, Jerry. There is stuff that we can do about it. And I don't think you should ascribe it to your drug overdose of many years ago. So what you need to do is go to your regular doctor, tell him what symptoms you're having, ask him, could it be related to that? Or ask him, is there a new problem? Have I developed diabetes? Have I developed some other reason for developing the numbness? And then he needs to do some special tests on you, Jerry. And at that point, then, there's medicines that we can give that treats numbness very well. But the first thing, and everybody listening should understand this, the first thing you got to do in medicine is this. You've got to get a diagnosis. Everything comes from the diagnosis. The diagnosis is wrong. The treatment is wrong. You won't get better, and you're going to feel worse. So, Jerry, one more question. How long have you felt the numbness?
Oh, for many, many years, and it went through stages, and cognitive dysfunction is one of my diagnoses.
I got it. Okay. So this is not an urgent thing. Now, say, for instance, if you're listening to me, you're driving your car, you're home, and suddenly you got acute onset numbness, the side of your face or your head, that's a different problem. That could be the beginning of a stroke, and that would mean you got to seek medical attention promptly by going to your local emergency room. Jerry's not in that category, but he does need to go back and say to him, look, this is interfering with my life now. What can I do about it? Do I need a workup? What kind of medicines can I get? Can I use the medicines like gabapentin that treat numbness? How's that going to be? So, Jerry, that's the order of the day. Get back, check with them, and see what's going on. Let's talk to Liz in Studio City. Hi, Liz.
Hi. Yes, I'm calling about my husband. He, for about the last 6 months, he's been having where his feet are just killing him. They're burning.
Mm-hmm.
They're sore. It doesn't matter if he sits all day. It doesn't matter if he walks, doesn't walk. He's getting to where he can't stand socks on, shoes on.
Oh.
We went to a podiatrist. They took an x-ray. They said there was nothing wrong they could see, but that they, he could try, you know, having some custom inserts made. And
so, Liz, let me ask you some questions. Let's get more specific on this. This does not sound like a bone problem. So when you do a plain x-ray, you're looking at the bones for a fracture. And that's not going to be that helpful in this setting. Is your husband diabetic?
No.
Has he been screened for diabetes?
He gets checkups every regularly. 6 months. He's in good health. He has a thyroid Hashimoto. He takes medicine for that, and they check it all the time.
Good.
He has he's in good weight. He eats great. His mother had, I think it's called myopathy, where she had constant nerve issues.
Sure.
And had to take a lot of pain medicine and stuff. He doesn't take anything, but it's getting to where he's like taking aspirin, and he can't. He'll be standing up at night and like I can't take.
And having I understand. So Liz, pain medicines in this setting is not a good idea, because all that's going to happen is he's going to end up having this problem will ongo, and he'll have a pain medicine problem. So, you know, opiates, stuff like that, I'd stay away from them. I would try a little bit of ibuprofen. Aspirin, in the kind of doses that an adult needs, is going to upset his stomach, it's going to upset his kidneys, not a good idea. That's why Aleve or Advil, generics or ibuprofen and naproxen were invented for that reason. So I would try those. The next thing is, Liz, it sounds like your husband has what we call a peripheral neuropathy. That's peripheral neuropathy, neuro as in nerve problem. And we have really, really good medicines for that now. So the first order, just like the previous caller, Liz, you got to have a diagnosis. I would start with the primary care physician. If you don't get satisfaction there, I would end up seeing a neurologist, a specialist in nerves. Tell them what the symptoms are and ask what kind of therapy. The kind of therapy that we like for this are things like gabapentin or Lyrica. They treat peripheral neuropathies pretty well. But as always, as I said earlier, in medicine, you gotta have the correct diagnosis. The symptoms are suggestive of that, then you gotta go and find what the problem is. That was Liz. Thanks for the call. 800-222-5222. If you wanna join the conversation or you have a question, let's talk to Amy. Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you, Dr. Chamber. I'm cold all the time, and
yeah.
I don't understand what is the problem is, and when the body feel cold, then I start to cough, and it doesn't stop until, you know, the body feel warm enough to put on a whole bunch of stuff and hat and weather. I mean, in this kind of weather, it's really embarrassing.
Well, it's kind of hot at the moment to be cold, right?
Yeah, because it's not only that, sometimes I have chills also.
Chills, okay. So are you losing weight, Amy?
No.
No, your weight's stable?
Yeah.
So apart from this, you know, feeling cold and the chills occasionally, you're good. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you recorded any fevers?
No. It's not a fever. You know, it's not the kind of chill that you have fever. You know, chill because you're cold.
Okay, got it. So that's your major symptoms. You're feeling cold when everybody else is feeling hot.
Yeah, it's all the time because this kind of weather, I wear 6-7 sweater, I have 4 socks, you know.
Okay.
And have 4-5 hats. I mean, it's...
That's embarrassing, huh?
Yeah, that's embarrassing. when you go to the supermarket, you know, I have to put on a lot of this before I can walk into the air conditioning, and people look at you, what is wrong with you?
Sure. And have you seen your doctor about this, Amy?
Yeah, I saw the doctor, you know, a long time ago, and the answer is, you know, this is normal. You know, you are at the other end of the extreme. This is not normal.
No. And did he check your thyroid, which is the thing that jumps out at me here? Do you know that?
Yeah, I had it checked before. The doctor said it was normal. Everything is normal. I wish they say, okay, there's something wrong with you. Then they can prescribe something.
Yes.
Everything is normal, but I'm not normal.
Well, that doesn't sound normal to me.
Exactly.
And let me ask you, Amy, where are you from originally?
I'm from Thailand.
Thailand, which is a pretty hot place.
Yeah.
Right. And how long have you been here?
Oh, over 40 years.
Oh, that's longer than I've been here. I've been here like, 25 years. So that's a long time. So you've definitely acclimatized. So the kind of things that jump out at me, Amy, is I always want to think of, is that when people you feel colder, and other and sorry, you feel cold, and other people are feeling normal or hot. That's off more often than not is a thyroid problem. So that needs to be at least rechecked one more time. The second thing you want to think about is your circulation okay? And you want to see if your circulation is blocked. You want to see if your circulation is going to spasm in things like lupus or Burger's disease. So what you should do is this, because we're not going to solve this on the radio. We're not going to solve it on this call, Amy. But I would go back to the primary care doctor. And the important thing to say, and everybody listening to me should understand this, if they've done a mini workup on you and they haven't found the answer, what you do is you go back and say, okay, I get that you didn't find anything. I get that your test didn't say there's anything wrong. But here's what's wrong with me. I'm not able to function. If I want to walk into the supermarket that's a little bit colder, I have to wear extra hats, I have to wear extra clothes. I'm embarrassed. There's something not right here. So please fix it. Now, I understand, Doc, if I've reached the kind of limit that you have. I got that. But can you refer me to somebody who's going to look at this? Please refer me to somebody that has an interest in unusual problems. And people, doctors who have interest in unusual problems, often in this setting are internists who think outside the box, who think of uncommon things, who think of rare problems, and they start putting it together. And generally speaking, those guys make a living or those women make a living at UCLA or Cedars, one of those kind of high-powered centers that's kind of semi-subsidized, and they get these difficult patients in and they work their way through them. So that's what I'd encourage you to do, Amy. And anybody listening to me who's got unusual symptoms and they're not happy, they're not getting satisfaction with their doctor. And remember, the doctor-patient relationship can go a little stale now and then. And sometimes you just need fresh eyes. Not happy with your primary care? Maybe go to a second one and say, hey, just wanted someone else to have a look. What do you think? And if you're still not getting satisfaction, then I would go to the guy or the gal at UCLA, Cedars, who has an interest in unusual problems and see what they come up with, see what they work with. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. If like Amy, you have a question, you want to join the conversation, that's 800-222-5222. When I come back, I want to talk about prognosis and bad outcomes and maybe even a little bit on the summer sun. This is Dr. Chambers on Call, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Stay tuned for the second half of Dr. Chambers on Call.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-597-4816. That's 1-800-597-4816. 1-800-597-4816. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors. Not available in all states.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-597-4816. That's 1-800-597-4816. 1-800-597-4816. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Looking for family-friendly events this summer that won't break the bank?
You ruined my life!
Don't ruin his life. Join 790 KABC at the 23rd annual Glendale Cruise Night, Saturday, July 16th. Be there as Brand Boulevard gets transformed into a car enthusiast dream with over 300 classic cars on display, a fireworks spectacular for him, and live music from the premier Eagles tribute band, Desperado. Plus, Beach Boys tribute band, Surfin', and the Surfaris. It's the best car show event of the year, and it's all free. The 23rd annual Glendale Cruise Night, Saturday, July 16th. Cruise on over to KABC.com for all the details.
This is Dr. Chambers on call, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. Who am I? Acute care physician. I see everything from hemorrhoids to heart attacks. You want to call? You have a question about yourself, your family's health? 800-222-5222. Now, the cornerstone of medicine is always the diagnosis. You come, you tell us what's wrong. We listen to you. We examine you. We do tests. That's what we do. Everything that about the diagnosis is really based on the story that you give us. And modern medicine is all about you making informed decisions. That means you have to understand your diagnosis. And you must understand the good or the bad of the treatment that I propose to you or your doc proposes to you. Right? If you don't understand the diagnosis, you don't understand the ups and downs of the treatment, how can you make that decision? That brings me to the concept of prognosis. Prognosis means what I think is going to happen to you because of this illness. You come into me in urgent care or the emergency room and you have chest pain. I tell you that I think this might be from your heart, and I do an EKG that will either confirm or help confirm or say, no, it's not from your heart. Then if the EKG is abnormal, if I think you're having a heart attack, there's a whole bunch of stuff that we got to do after that. One of the problems of modern medicine is that my concept of your prognosis, my concept of what's going to happen to you because of this illness, is usually very different from your concept. And it's that difference that can lead you to misery. It's that difference that can lead you to not getting the right treatment or being overtreated or being undertreated. So it's really, really important that you understand what your prognosis is. That's why you have to say to your doctor, please explain to me in everyday, simple language, what's going to happen to me because of this disease. Now, when I give you your prognosis because of this chest pain or because of this heart failure or because of this cancer, it's a guesstimate. I'm basing it on my experience over a couple of decades treating patients. I'm basing it on what the medical literature tells me to tell you. Is my guesstimate what's going to happen to you always right? Of course not. No human is always right in anything they do. They're frequently wrong. And doctors are no different than everybody else. We get it wrong. The problem for us is, if you don't understand the prognosis, or we paint too bleak a picture, you may refuse treatment. You may say, hey, please, forget it. I'm not doing this. No chemo for me. Don't resuscitate me if my heart stops. So we have to kind of get in there, make it realistic so you understand what the issues are, but not so unrealistic that you feel, oh, I'm going to get well anyway. So in other words, we paint too optimistic a picture. And part of it, when we're trying to get you to understand the prognosis, trying to get you to understand what's going to happen to you because of this illness, is that you've got some ideas in your head. Of course you do. You're an adult. You're educated. You've had life experience, whatever. And sometimes we Americans have just a little bit too much optimism in technology. The doctor tells you the chances of you surviving is very slim. You go, but yeah, American high-tech medicine will pull one out and save me. And then there's the TV effect, the CSI effect, which is that the overbelief is that, you know, I saw that on this TV show last week, and that person got better. Every doctor on the show thought they were going to die, and the good-looking guest star got better. Or you may not believe in God as much as I do, doctor, and I'm waiting for a miracle. All of those things factor in. And one of my favorites is I heard an interview with Jack Welch, who's a famous entrepreneur, famous businessman. He ran General Motors, made it into the dynamic company it is today. He said, you know, if I'm in a coma, I am different than everybody else. I'm fighting harder. I want to get better. And I tell my doctors, don't give up on me like you would a regular guy. So when we're talking prognosis, we're trying to get all of those factors in there so that you understand them. So when you have a serious illness, you must understand the diagnosis, what it is, what it's not, what the treatment is, what would happen to you if you didn't treat it, and will I be alive in a year or 5 years? Those are the kind of things that you have to ask. Those are the kind of things that you must understand. And if you feel emotionally overwhelmed going to these meetings with doctors, going to these visits, bring somebody with you. Write it down. Think about it beforehand. Write your questions down. Bring them into the doctor. Ask her. Write down the answers. Ask them to give you the diagnosis and go to a reputable site. If you have cancer, go to City of Hope. They'll give you the correct information. You can read it at your leisure. MayoClinic.com, another great website. Simple, everyday language. They'll explain what the problem is. Let's talk to Jack. Hi, Jack.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, Jack. What's going on?
Well, I've had a pain in my bladder, and it's been close to about 8 years now. And some mornings, it's very acute. I can feel it pronouncedly. And then some mornings, I can't feel it all, and I have to go in there and kind of like, I just kind of dig my hands or my fingers mm-hmm. on it, and then yeah. I can feel the sharp pain. When I have to use the bathroom and my bladder is full, it's much more pronounced
than
when it's not. And I've just, I don't think you were talking about cancer right now. I don't think it's cancer based on my life and how I'm living it right now. But I am concerned because is that usual just to have pain?
No, it's not usual. Pain is not a normal part of life in the sense that it is a normal part of life. But it's telling you that there's a problem. You need to go think about it. You need to go fix it. You need to go have it looked into. So what happens when somebody comes into me, say like Jack, and say it's you in your car, listen to me on the podcast, whatever. You come in with bladder pain. What do we think of? Well, the first thing we want to think about is do you have an infection, right? Bladder infections don't last 8 years. Fact. Do not last 8 years. Very easy to diagnose. Take a little urine sample. We put a dipstick into it, see if there's any evidence of infection like white cells, and then we send it off for culture, which is the gold standard, to see if bugs grow, number one. In a guy, you got to think about prostate issues. Does he have prostatitis? Is that in it? And that can go on for years and years and years. You make that diagnosis by a rectal exam, and you feel the prostate, see if it's tender. You may even have to take biopsies. There's a whole other thing with chronic prostatitis. That's two things, right? Now, Jack is concerned about cancer, and bladder cancer does not usually present with pain. Bladder cancer presents with blood in the urine. The person will come into you and say, everything was great, doc. I went to have a pee, and all of a sudden, what? It's full of blood. I'm peeing blood. Peeing blood with no pain when you pee, with no discharge, that's an issue. Then you have to go and look into that, and then you go see a urologist who specializes in this area, and they would have a look inside the bladder and take some biopsies. The other area is that the bladder itself is dystonic. The muscles aren't working well. And that, again, you would go see a urologist, a specialist in this area, a specialist in the genitalia, a specialist in the bladder and kidneys. And they would do certain tests to see if the muscles are working, if they're causing instability, if they're causing chronic pain. This is much more common in women, so the women who are listening to me will understand what I'm talking about. This bladder dysfunction, this muscle bladder problem, is much more common in women. So, Jack, I think what you need to do at this point, 8 years is a long time to suffer, really a long time. I would go back to the primary care doctor and say, look, again, I don't think our diagnosis here is good. I don't think our diagnosis here is accurate. I want a fresh set of eyes. And the fresh set of eyes should be a urologist, URO, urologist, who's going to look at this area, do some special tests, see if I can empty my bladder properly, see if the muscles are working properly, and do all of the other things that they need to do. And then we can work out and see if I can get relief from this. So as always, if something is going on for a long time, the diagnosis must be wrong. Diagnosis needs to be reevaluated. Diagnosis needs to be checked. So Jack, anybody who's listening to me, symptoms that are going on for 8 years, not acceptable. You got to go back and you got to be assertive. Don't be rude. Be nice. Be assertive and say, hey, can we take a second look at this? Can we have it just go around again? That was Jack. Thanks very much for the call, Jack. 800-222. If you have a question like Jack, that's 800-222-5222. You can call in with whatever is on your mind about your health. When I come back, I want to talk about teens. You know, most of us have a teen in our life or a millennial, and they have certain views of the world. They have certain ways to approach it. And sometimes the teen will come in to you as a parent and say, I'm going out with Billy or Juan or Juanita or whoever tonight. And you go, no, you're not. No, 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 you're not. I don't like them. You're not going. Maybe not the best way. My advice when I come back, 800-222-5222. This is Dr. Chambers on Call, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Dr. Chambers on Call will continue answering more of your questions.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-471-9807. That's 1-800-471-9807. 1-800-471-9807. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, join 790 KABC for the greatest show on Surf Love. The San Clemente Ocean Festival.
July 16th and 17th.
At the San Clemente Pier.
Celebrating 40 years of fun in the sun.
And there's something for everyone. With competitions in running, swimming.
Don't forget surfing and boating.
Plus music, parties, and more.
Grab your boards, keyboards that is, and boogie on over to KABC.com for all the details.
Check in 3 to 4 times a day to improve your mind, wallet, and waistline, or your money back. Live and local, KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers on Call, back from hiatus, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. And on this show, we discuss everything from hemorrhoids to heart attacks. 800-222-5222. Now, when I'm not on the air on KABC, you can follow me on Twitter, which is Dr. JC on Call at DRJC on Call. And of course, on Facebook, Dr. Chambers on Call. Hit like, let me know you were there. You can comment on the show. You can make suggestions for the show. You can disagree with my advice. Whatever it is, we like to talk. We like to communicate. Now, not that long ago, I had a dad who came in and he was angry. He was really angry. And he had his teen son with him. And he said to me, I had a deal with my son. And my deal was that he would not do drugs. He would not smoke marijuana around his younger siblings. And the teen, all of 17, 18, is defense saying, I didn't. And the dad says, I want him tested. I want to know if he is lying to me. I go, okay, I can do that. Easy, peasy. Urine tests and blood tests, I can tell you. But do you really want to know? Do you really think that a doctor's office in the 21st century is the place to solve this trust issue? Because think about it. I do the test and it's positive, kid's lying. I do the test, it's negative, doesn't mean the kid's not lying, just means we didn't catch him. Or maybe he's being honest. But here's the thing. This is not like practicing 20, 30 years ago, where I have a little local office and it just goes into a little file and blah, blah, bum. We never hear about it again. Modern medicine is all computerized. This becomes a permanent part of his record. It goes out to a lab who records it. And you know how computers are. There's never 100% privacy. Think about it. The Pentagon is hacked. There's no 100% privacy. And him coming into my office trying to solve his trust problem by using modern technology or modern medicine, not a good idea. That's not going to restore that relationship if I do that test. So when I explained this to the dad, and he calmed down a little, I said, you know, might be better just to go have a coffee and talk this through. You know what I mean? And it's awfully hard sometimes to communicate with teens because they have their own ideas. And one of the things that you have to understand as an adult is the part of their brain where they can see all aspects of an argument isn't fully developed. They may look like adults, they may try to behave like adults, but they're not. Their brain is still maturing. Fact. Their brain will keep maturing until they're in their mid-20s. So if your teen son or daughter comes out and says, I want to hang out with Juan tonight, or I want to go out with Billy tonight, or whatever it is, and you don't like them, you think the only thing that's going to happen if they go party with this person is trouble. And you don't want it. So you look at them and go like, look at me. Never going to happen. No way. Forget about it. And then the teen clams up, withdraws, or worse, there's a shouting match between you and them. You never let me do anything. You don't want me to have fun. All of that stuff pours out. What you need to do, what is better for your teen, is this. Say, hey, why do you want to hang around with Juan or Billy or Juanita or whoever, Esmeralda? Why do you want to hang around? You don't really like them. You haven't heard from them in ages. The last time you were with them, we had an issue. So what do you think you're going to get from that? And what did you think my reaction was going to be? You know I don't like them. You know I think they're trouble. So do you think you could put yourself in my shoes as mom or dad? And if you could, if it was reversed, would you say, yeah, go on to that party, it'll be okay? You wouldn't really, would you? Now, that may not completely convert that teen at that moment, but what you're trying to do is develop the skills in the teen to see problems from all angles and to see problems from other people's shoes. So that when they're in the workforce, when they're in college or whatever they are, they can mix with people, they can integrate, they can see when issues are going on, and they try to appreciate it from everybody's point of view. Their abilities to solve conflicts, their abilities to solve problems will grow with you. And you will have a more harmonious household. The last thing I want to say in this topic is this. You can't be your child's, your teen's friend. They have friends. They need you to be a parent. And one of the things that I see, not only in my practice, but in my private life, is that a lot of people in their 40s think, I didn't have a great relationship with my dad or my mom. I couldn't talk to them about sex. I couldn't talk to them about relationships. I couldn't talk to them about intimate stuff. But I'm different. My teens can talk to me about everything. My teens are great. We communicate completely. There's nothing that they won't tell me. There's nothing they won't share with me. And when I hear this professionally, I go, uh-oh. uh-oh. Because no teen really wants to share everything with their mom or their dad. No matter how much they love them, no matter how intimate they are with them, no matter how much they're friendly, no matter how much the communication is good, there's some things that we humans, when we're teens, won't tell our parents. In fact, if you're 30 or 40 or 50 listening to me, I bet there's things about your life you wouldn't tell your mom or your dad now. There are things about your life you wouldn't share with them now. Even though you're an adult, they're an adult, they understand the world, you understand the world. So when you have a teen and you think, I'm so much a better parent than my parent, so my teens will tell me everything. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Remember, they don't need you to be a friend. They need you to be the parent. This is Dr. Chambers on Call. And remember, when I'm not live and local on KABC, follow me on Facebook, Dr. Chambers on Call, and on Twitter, at Dr. JC on Call. Not to forget my digital platform, drchambersoncall.com. Catch my podcast there. You get my medical minutes, which go out on the Radio America Network nationally. I do all kinds of topics like what is heat exhaustion, how to differentiate that from heat stroke, all the common stuff, how to handle a burn because it's summer, we're barbecuing. And I just want to share one more thing with you before we head off for the week, and it's this. The World Health Organization gave out what was a rare reversal recently. For years, they've been hinting that coffee causes cancer. Now, if you're like me, you don't want to start your day without a cup of coffee. That's a hard one to swallow. Coffee causes cancer. Well, in a rare reversal, World Health Organization, WHO, said, probably not true. Actually, it's not true. And in actual fact, coffee may be protective against cancer. And you go, what? So my morning coffee protects me against cancer? That's great. That's absolutely fabulous. I can now drink my coffee and I don't have to worry. Then there's this little caveat. And the caveat was, if the coffee is too hot, it can burn the top of your esophagus, leading to cancer. And I go, whoa, no, let me tear the last bit of my hair out. I mean, can they ever, ever give you good news without throwing some caveat in? And what's the simplest way not to burn, not to scald your esophagus so it gets chronically irritated and may end up giving you cancer? Let your coffee cool. Or blowing it. The take-home message, if you read all of this kind of stuff in the media, that this is going to kill you, that will kill you, all the common everyday stuff, it can drive you crazy. And that's what this show is about, to put some sanity into the healthcare information that you get. So during the week, don't forget, follow me on drchambersoncall.com. That's drchambersoncall.com. Twitter, at drjconcall, at drjconcall. And of course, Facebook, Dr. Chambers on Call. There you can catch my podcasts, my videos, articles, and the medical minutes. We're always trying something new, and sometimes we take a topic like, is butter bad for you? And put it in perspective. And do a little fun video. Even though you might learn something from the videos, guess what? You'll laugh. You'll have some fun. And one of my favorite videos there is, how often should you wash your sheets? I bet you're thinking, if you're a gal, those guys, they don't really wash their sheets very often. Well, you may be right, but you know what? You gals don't wash them as much. Have a look at the video. You'll laugh. It's all on drchambersoncall.com. So that's it for this week. I'll be back next Saturday, live and local, 12 to noon. Call in with your questions. Follow me on my various platforms, drchambersoncall.com, etc. This is Dr. Chambers on Call, live and local, on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Information in this show is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. It is not a replacement or substitute for professional medical advice and/or treatment. Consult with your own doctor for information and advice on your specific medical condition or questions.
Dr. Chambers on Call, sponsored by City of Hope.